How many of you play the lottery? What a bunch of losers. Beam me up, Lord. I'm done. I learned my lesson 35 years ago with the lottery. I was living in Washington, D.C. They started a new lottery, $1 a ticket. They said, your chances of winning are 1 in 10. So I bought 10. I thought, well, another 10. That was it. That was it. I learned my lesson. And, you know, here you get put. That was $20 for nothing. Nothing. And yet what do? We play games of chance like that, hoping that something will come through. When, what do you call someone who keeps trying something and it fails? Crazy? A fool? Yeah, except when it comes to the lottery, because I may strike it, and when I do, ooh, hallelujah. But again, you know, as Americans, well, as Christians, you know, we do have a pull. We're supposed to be countercultural. We're supposed to be radical. We're supposed to say to that kind of pie in the sky, which is really money in the coffers of the state, we're supposed to say, no, no, that's mammon. I don't worship that. I rather worship the God who is a sure thing. You know, we don't gamble when it comes to God, right? You can't gamble with God because the returns God gives us, what in terms of what we do for the Lord, I mean, it's astronomical. Astronomical. And yet, we're more ready to buy a lottery ticket or a raffle ticket. You know, Catholic churches are really good about that. And evangelicals who say, no, you're tithing, they look at us and they say, boy, those Catholics, why do they do it that way? And they're right. They're right. In fact, many bishops have already said within 2 to 5 years, no more games of chance. Absolutely not. Because that's not the way we show our generosity to God. We give to God because God is generous to us. And it's not a question of expecting anything back. We've already got it back. And the real win is heaven, which is far beyond anything that we can imagine now. Now, about 40 years ago, in 1983, I was a wee little person of 29. And I belonged to a parish that was beginning a sacrificial giving program, which was basically tithing. And the pastor said, now, if you want to start at 2% of your gross income or whatever, fine, and then keep going up. And so I was a parishioner there. And, you know, this is God. This is God doing it. I don't know why I was getting copies of the Catholic Courier in Washington, but I was. And so right around the time of the sacrificial giving program, the Courier came, and the front page story was of a single mother of two who was tithing 10% of her gross income. And she was making about, I'd say, $12,000 back then. I was making maybe $11,500. This is 1983. A woman with two children giving 10% of her gross income to the Lord. And so it shamed me because it was kind of like, Mike, if she can do it, you got to do it. Because you're a single man, you don't have a car, you got a job, so forth and so on. But I was so amazed by the witness of this woman. Because, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, don't do that. You never know what kind of trouble you're going to get. You want to always have a nest egg. You want to invest that in securities or an IRA or whatever it is. But she wasn't having any of that. Any of that. So really, 40 years ago, I began tithing 10% of my gross income. And as my income went up, I gave more and more and more and more. And it has become for me a joy, because and people who tithe will probably tell you this. They say, the more you give, it seems like the more you have, because you notice what the Lord has done for you, how God is good to you, so that you don't have to worry. And then, of course, if we look at the early church, and we did at the very beginning of the Easter season, they were practicing tithing and more because, as we heard, the people were of one mind. They sold their property, gave it to the apostles to make sure that it was distributed appropriately so everybody would have what they needed. So we had people who were willing to go the whole way to show the Lord, I'm grateful for what you've done, and I want to give as you have given to me. And, of course, the other part of it, too, which we have to work on, they were part of a community of believers that they trusted. Just as they trusted God, they trusted the apostles, they trusted their fellow Christians, that if anything happened to them, their fellow people would take care of them. Now, in our society, you know, we've heard this for years, that America was built on individualism. You know, what I want to do. And if I earn it, it's mine. And so forth and so on. But that's certainly not the way of Jesus Christ, is it? Jesus didn't say, look, unless you do this X, Y, Z, I won't love you. No, he started with his love for each of us. So that hopefully as we grow in gratitude, we grow in our ability to return the love of God generously by supporting our brothers and sisters. And it's a constant challenge, especially in our society today, where there's a lot of fear out there. Someone was saying, I think I saw in the paper today, they had a lot of people fighting at the Lilac Festival last night. You know, it's kind of like, what is going on? And so we hear that sort of thing. We may get afraid. We want to go into our home, shut the doors, protect ourselves, when in fact what we should be doing is just the opposite. Going out to all those, because that's what St. Peter said in the second reading. If you really are faithful as a Christian, as a disciple, you will suffer. Now, that wasn't in the fine print. That was in the bold print. If you follow the Lord, you will suffer. And yet, Peter knew that, and he did suffer, and yet he still followed the Lord, as did Paul. And we look at the saints throughout history who followed the Lord and gave everything over to the Lord in gratitude. So for us, that's our challenge. Number one, what kind of a community are we? And I'm just talking about the community of St. Mary Ann Cope. Do we even know one another? Do we know one another's needs? Are we willing to reach out to one another in a generous way to support one another? Number two, what's our faith like in God? Is it up here, just up here, maybe a little bit here, but not so much here or in my wallet? And do I trust God? Okay, faith is this deep down belief, but trust goes even further, and hope is another part of it. Because trust and hope are all about God, the reliability of God. Who says? And that's what Jesus says in the gospel. If you obey my commandments, if you follow me, you will know the love of the Father. And remember, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating the Feast of Pentecost, where we get the whole enchilada, so to speak. We get the advocate. We get the Spirit of God who comes with all sorts of charisms and gifts so that we can do what Jesus did. And, you know, I say it again and again, and every congregation I've ever been in, I brought it up. When was the last time somebody cured someone physically? Because Jesus says we can. We can. Because of the Holy Spirit. So is our investment in getting to know this Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us so that we're not just trying things again and again and failing, but rather we're claiming the power of God that God is giving to us is not earned. It's not because we're worthy, but because God wants us to grow and flourish and serve one another. So are we finding out who this Holy Spirit is? Do we explore our gifts, our charisms, and then use them generously? And for those who have those charisms, you will find that they have their antennae up all the time, looking for someone who is in need of healing, of care. But every single one of us in this room, we were given the Holy Spirit in baptism, and we've always had access to the Holy Spirit. But again, we have to do something to find out exactly what the Lord is all about, how the Lord has gifted us, and he has gifted every one of us, to be generous givers. In fact, we pray that we will be generous dispensers of God's blessings. That's one of the prayers during one of the Masses. Generous dispensers of what God has given to us. So the question is, do we kind of close off who we are, what we have, whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, whether it's our treasure, and we do it out of fear? And yet, on the other hand, do we kind of go with the flow, the culture that says, think of number one, worry about the future? Yeah, God's loving, but he's not going to save you from X, Y, Z. So where are we in that? And again, Jesus says we're called to run hot or to run cold, because if we're lukewarm, he will spit us out of his mouth. But there's no reason, absolutely no reason, why we cannot excel in being like Jesus. Jesus was given everything by the Father. And if you listen to the Eucharistic prayers, all of them, it says, if we are faithful as Jesus was faithful, we will be co-heirs to the kingdom. Co-heirs with Jesus. Now, I'd say that's a pretty good deal. You're not going to find that in the lottery. I don't care if you win $1 billion lottery. That's nothing compared to the good things that God has in store for us. And not just in the future, but here and now. And it's in each of us. Each of us is a gem. Each of us is a jewel. Each of us was created mindfully by God to be unique in the world in order to live the gospel, to be faithful, to grow in trust and hope, and to bring other people into that. So we do have a lot of work to do. I don't think that's not true. And yet we can accomplish it. Very quickly we can accomplish it. But again, we have to let go of what we kind of hold on to. You know, is it God or is it mammon? Where are we? What do I need to do to let go of stuff, whatever it might be, so that I'm more available to people? Even just to pray with people and to listen to people. I mean, those are great gifts. And many of you know that. You know that with all the ministries you participate in. You know, our angel care. We go to the nursing homes for Mass. You know, people are giving generously of themselves in order to help other people who are in terrible situations. So we already have that experience. I suspect most of you have had that in some way over the last 20, 25 years. But we can't stop. We have to keep on going and keep on expanding and keep on growing in our ability to be generous, because God has no end to what he wants to give us. So it is, again, up to us. So where do we fall? As always, it's a challenge. We have to struggle with it. We have to challenge one another. But the only sure thing in life is God. That's what we believe. The only sure thing in life is God and God's love, his care for us, his caring about us. So if my trust is weak, if my faith is weak, if I'm hopeless, then turn to a neighbor and say that. Because we have an obligation to one another to reassure one another in our faith. And again, that's what Peter says. We have to give a good reason for our hope. And we have to give it to one another. Then we have to go out into the world to do it. So we have hope, but we got to think about what does that mean and how can I be a hope giver to other people, just as Peter tells us to do. Yes, there will be suffering. But nonetheless, that is the journey that Jesus went on, and that's our journey as well. So again, sky's the limit. We have been given gifts that are so amazing, and many that we haven't even looked at yet, maybe out of fear, maybe out of doubt, maybe out of ignorance, I don't know. But let's look at those gifts. Let's grab them. Let's use them. Let's be grateful. Let's be hopeful, because we live in a world where those things are just not prevalent. So as we go forth today, think about that, because you are a hope bearer. You are a Christ bearer. You bear the love of God. What a privilege. But you do. You do. I do. We all do. So when we go out into the world, it's not as beggars, but rather extraordinarily rich people who have won the spiritual lottery again and again and again every single second, so that we don't have to fear about running out of God's love.